Our voice from Sydney Ox, we love her on the run home. Her name's Beck Wilson. She writes for the Daily Telegraph. G'day, Beck.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Beck, we hear you're a little upset with the White Ribbon folks. What's happening there? What's the story?
Well, there was a statement issued by White Ribbon yesterday off the back of yet another incident involving rugby league player Sean Kenny-Dowell, who's a superstar for the Sydney Roosters. He's been charged with 10 serious offences. The allegations are serious, but the NRL has refused to stand him down, saying once again that they want the process to run its course, that they're not going to do anything until the court appearances are done and dusted. Now, we've a lot of people in Sydney have got a problem with that, given the history the NRL has in not acting against these issues. And White Ribbon certainly is one of the groups or community groups who do have a liaison with the rugby league, and they just came out yesterday and issued a statement that made out there was blanket support from them for what the NRL stand was, which I think is entirely wrong, and I think that they should have thought about issuing the statement. And they and I've spoken to their PR people who said, oh, didn't you read the entire statement? And I said, I've read the paper, and that's bad enough.
So
they picked the eyes out of it, basically endorsing the NRL stand against on Kenny-Dowell.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. What about, is there a possibility of a retraction from the White Ribbon Foundation?
I doubt it. I think that they're now madly backpedalling. I'm speaking to the chief executive in the morning. But, you know, the damage is done in terms of, you know, I was sitting in my lounge room last night and they were saying what pressure the player is under in terms of his welfare. And I had two young women in my lounge room who said, what about the girl? What's happened? Is there any mention of that? And now, we don't know. You're always innocent until you're proven guilty. But the fact that Kenny-Dowell has brought the game into disrepute with the breadth of the charges against him, one of them is, you know, assault occasioning bodily harm. Now, that's a serious charge.
Yeah, it is.
Beck, I've just realised some of our listeners mightn't realise the White Ribbon, it's all about family violence. And it's big
news
at the moment. You know, in our country, the Australian of Year of the Year is a big campaigner. We've just seen what happened to Phil Walsh, for goodness sakes. I mean, this should be taken reasonably seriously.
To me, this is the time when the NRL and people like White Ribbon draw a line in the sand. You've got a Royal Commission in Victoria. You've got the Australian of the Year who spends her entire life spruiking this stuff. And when you've got a situation where, you know, again, like last year, you had the South Sydney player. He pleaded guilty in court, and they still let him get his premiership ring 6 months down the track before they decided to afford him or give him any sort of suspension. Now, we're heading exactly the same way with Sean Kenny-Dowell. And somewhere along the line, as even our Premier came out on Sunday, Mike Baird, and said to Dave Smith, it is time to show some leadership. You can't continue to say and hide behind the cloak of legality, because you've just got to stand these players down. They've done enough damage to the brand. I said repeatedly on the weekend, across the southern states, the only reason rugby league was mentioned on the weekend was the fact that Sean Kenny-Dowell had been charged with 10 charges of domestic violence. And I think that that's a bad enough advertisement for the rugby league brand.
Well said,
Beck.
Well said.
Well, we've also seen in the NFL and other sports around the world, and they're starting to fall into line that it ain't good enough just to be hiding. You've got to get on the front foot and deal with
it.
Hopefully that occurs, Beck. The Sydney Swans,
they
stunk it up. They stunk it up, Beck.
Yeah, they are not the team they were. I think they're still, you know, to be honest with you, I think they're absolutely smarting from last year's grand final defeat. They have not been anywhere near the side they were last year in the first half of the season. They've had the wobbles many times throughout this season, but talk about the wobbles. They were bad in every aspect of the game. And John Longmire said they just completely deserted their brand of play. And I think that was the best summary that you could possibly give. There was no sign of the Swans' on-ball tenacity at any stage throughout that game.
Not only are Sydney on the nose, Beck, but ANZ Stadium, fair dinkum. They are just, it's lunacy from what we've seen. The pictures of Jared Roughead sliding across those four bolts has scared hell out of everybody. Now, what's the story? I mean, we want the AFL to be able to walk away from this ground. Do you know the details? Can they?
The AFL, well, certainly the Swans are walking away at the end of 2016. And I think now they've got a valid grounds to walk away even earlier. And I think if they'd had their way, they wouldn't have even played there this year. The problem is that when you don't have a week-in, week-out AFL ground, you know, and you guys know yourself, the work that goes into preparing a ground at Etihad and the MCG every week, it requires a team of staff who understand everything about the code, about what could go wrong on that field, about the preparation of the field for the safety of the players. Now, you just don't get that when you go to ANZ. You play there once in a blue moon. Rugby league is the game that's played there as a rule. It's on a rectangular ground with a lot more space on the boundary than you get with AFL. And these guys, I mean, because it's run on the smell of an oily rag, they just don't get groundsmanship and actually the welfare of players and looking after players. It's a PR disaster for ANZ. And my view is, if I were the AFL, I'd just say, boycott, we're not going there ever again.
Gee, it might, four bolts might end up being very costly for ANZ Stadium. Beck, yeah. The NRL are looking at the interchange rule that they're going to bring back down from 10 to 8. Is it a sudden move, or have they been talking about this for a while?
They've been talking about it for about three seasons, and I think they're finally realising they have to do something to stop this robotic kind of play that we're now seeing. And I note that the AFL's looking at the interchange rule for different reasons. I think the AFL's got some other issues that are different from the NRL. But the issues in the rugby league relate, I think, to the fact that we've now got something like 40% of our players are of Polynesian descent. And I think that you find that they are fantastic, unbelievable footballers for 50 or 60 minutes. The interchange rule was introduced and it completely and utterly favoured the big mountain of a forward, and then it completely and utterly went against the small, darty player, the open form of play that was so a great part of rugby league that's been pretty much negated by these big, massive, you know, tong and sidestep kind of forwards that you're getting in the game, and you're even getting them in your backs now.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they're looking at it, because you want to have players who come onto the field, and if you know, you want the last 10 minutes of a game to open up with the Alfie Langers and the little Stevie Mortimers, that you just don't get that anymore.
Sounds familiar, Beck. They're talking about it down here as well. Yeah, hey, just finally, FFA Chairman Frank Lowy, now you're a little closer to him than we are. We understand that he's to undergo brain surgery. Has this got anything to do with the fall he had on the A-League podium?
Well, he wasn't well before he had the fall. And, we've all got to remember here, you know, as much as we don't like to think about Frank Lowy's age, Frank Lowy is in his mid-80s. And any sort of fall like that at that age has got to have an impact. And he has not been a well man, particularly since that fall.
It wasn't a small fall either, was it, Beck?
It wasn't.
It was a big, it was a double pike, half-twisting backflip.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I think a young man would have struggled with that fall. And, you know, when you've got a couple of ailments that you carry into a fall like that and you're in your mid-80s, you just don't view it lightly. So I think that, he might actually have to realise that he's, the limits of his age and slow up a little bit, because he hasn't slowed up at all since that fall. He's still been running around and doing his business, and, I don't think he can afford to do that.
Good on you, Beck. Look forward to reading your stuff in the Daily Telegraph. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Beck Wilson there. Danny Gorog, our tech geek, coming up next.